I'm Lillian Vasquez with Lifestyles on KVCR. Thanks for listening. On today's show, I'll speak with 12 Camacho, co-founder and operations manager of Foster Army Animal Rescue. 12 shares their mission to rescue and treat vulnerable, at-risk companion animals and place them in forever homes. He also talks about their thrift shop in Riverside and ways you can help support their cause and the animals. Also on the show, I'll speak with comedian Carol Montgomery. Carol will talk about her latest project, Funny Women of a Certain Age, a stand-up show featuring only female comics, live at the Irvine Improv Wednesday, July 20th. But first, my conversation with 12 Camacho. Welcome to Lifestyles.
I'm happy to be here. Thank you.
So please tell me about Foster Army Animal Rescue. What is its mission?
Oh, well, our mission is to try to make our beautiful city of Riverside a safe place for pets. We are a foster-based organization, hence the name Foster Army Animal Rescue. And what that means basically is we do not have a facility, and all of our animals are in loving foster homes while they rehabilitate and get better for adoption. As a rescue, we only take animals from the Riverside shelter, or primarily the Riverside shelter. And from the shelter, we only take animals from the euthanasia list. And even off of that list, we take the animals that actually need rescue more than any other animal that might be there. So, for example, if there were two sets of kittens or two litters of kittens that had ringworm, one was a set of Siamese cats and one was all black kittens, we would tend to take the black kittens because other rescues will most likely take the Siamese. So we really try to rescue animals that need it the most. And then our hope is that we could build an army of fosters big enough where every pet in Riverside that ends up in the shelter does not have to be euthanized. So we're hoping to be so big that, you know, Riverside will be a safe place for pets because we're able to take animals off that euthanasia list and put them in homes until they get adopted.
Got it. So yours is a little different. You don't have a facility, so you don't have animals. There's not a shelter there. You must have a list of people that are ready, willing, and able to take some of these animals, take care of them, rehabilitate them, and then have them ready for adoption? Is that how it works?
Yes, and we kind of inadvertently built a nice little reputation for taking in special needs animals as well. So like the shelter will call us when they have an animal with a broken leg or needs an amputation or an inoculation or anything like that. So our fosters also are very skilled in rehabilitating and caring for animals. But yes, it is correct. We do have a list of people that we call. So whenever we get a phone call from the shelter or go to the shelter to see who needs some saving, our rescue coordinator will see an animal. She'll have a list of who takes what, and then she starts texting and calling people. And then when a foster steps up, you take them out of the shelter and take them straight to the vet and then to the foster's home.
Wow. And so I'm sure it's going to vary, but how long in time does the rehabilitation portion take before they're adopted out? What can that whole process look like?
It is a little lengthy. So usually when people inquire to foster with us and they ask the same question, we tell them indefinitely because depending on the sickness or the injury, it could take a while. So if we take a dog with a broken leg or a cat that needs an amputation, it usually requires anywhere from 3 to 5 months of crate rest after surgery. We also have special needs animals, so also adopting them out can be really difficult. So I've been fostering a dog for 5 years now.
At what point is he yours?
he's basically mine. He moved into forever foster situation.
Okay.
So because what happened is when we took him, he was a senior pit bull from a horrible situation, and he was the oldest one. All the other dogs that were in this hoarding situation was 4 years and younger, and so no one was taking this old guy, so we went and got him, and he ended up having a lot of issues. He, you know, chronic ear infections, so every month he has to get a special culture so we could see what bacteria is in that ear and then get special meds just for that. He had to get a lot of work done. He had tumors, and he had to get a full dental, and he wasn't fixed yet, and we had to do blood panels. And because he's a pit bull, and he's old, and he has a lot of medical conditions, we don't get many applications, if any at all, for him. So he ends up staying with me so long that you know, he kind of got attached. And well, I'm lying. We got attached. But his medical costs and fees are so much. A lot of rescues usually have a forever foster situation where we want to save an animal, but, you know, maybe we can't really adopt an animal out with extensive medical costs. And so we put him in a forever foster situation, and the rescue is responsible for his medical needs while he gets to live a comfortable life in someone's home. So, you know, we're hopeful. In our organization, we're committed to every animal we take in for life. So if we adopt a dog out and they have to be returned for whatever reason, we take them back, no questions asked. And when they're in a foster home, they're going to stay in a foster home until they find their forever home. So again, to answer your question, it's really hard to say, so we just tell people indefinitely. So if we take in puppies or kittens, you're probably going to have them for maybe a month because everyone wants a puppy and kitten. But because we deal with a lot of special needs animals, it can take a little longer, anywhere from a month to a year.
Okay, that's a good frame of reference. So it can be a while. You kind of describe that if they're the little puppies or little kittens, maybe about a month, but it could be as long as 8 months. And I would guess the majority aren't going to be like yours that's been 5 years, who I probably would say that dog is yours and it's going to be with you for life. How do you go about finding these care providers or foster parents that are willing to take in animals?
A lot of people call us with, you know, a litter of kittens or a friend. They're trying to rehome like their mom or their friend's dog. But we only take animals from the shelter. And if the animal ever goes to the shelter, then we tell them we can't really guarantee we could take them unless we have a foster available. And a lot of people sign up to be the foster for that animal. So that's one way we get is just through education. We do a lot of community events where we speak or we'll have a booth at an event. Well, we also try to recruit fosters, but the main recruitment place is our thrift store. We do have a little corner where we hold adoption events inside of our thrift store. We always try to have an animal in there every day. So when people come and shop, they hear a dog barking or a cat meowing, and then they inquire about it. And then that's an opportunity for us to tell them about who we are and what we are. And we're able to recruit a lot of fosters that way.
Nice. Let me ask you about the thrift store. Obviously, that's one of your fundraisers, a way to support your endeavors. Tell me about the thrift store. Where is it located and what type of things do you sell there?
Yeah, well, we're just a regular thrift store. So we have everything from pet items to furniture and home goods. And we have a lot of clothes, kid toys and linen, blankets, towels, you know, everything a run-of-mill thrift store would have. And we're located in the old historic Marcy Branch Library off of Central Avenue, 3711 Central Avenue, right by the Riverside Plaza. So it's really fun to be in an old historic fun building. People get really nostalgic when they come in. We have a lot of grandparents that come in with grandkids that like to tell them how it used to be a library. And
how
where
cute.
We actually have the animals is where they used to do story time with kids.
Oh, nice. So how did this nonprofit develop? What was the inspiration? Was it your idea? Are you behind all this?
Well, me and my girlfriend, Kimberly Powell, are the founders. And, you know, we worked at a shelter, and we got really discouraged with politics getting in the way with actually saving animals' lives and making a difference.
Right.
And so we left that organization with a lot of other people, and we realized we still wanted to work with animals. So we decided to start a rescue, and I found a thrift store that was for sale, and I ended up buying it, and, you know, it took about a year to file and get our nonprofit status, and then became a full-blown nonprofit once that all started. So, you know, I would say our passion to make this a career and try to be true to what it means and what it takes to actually save animal lives. So, for example, because of our, I guess, negative experience, we have a strict policy of only taking animals from the shelter, and we don't do any special favors for anyone. You know, not even myself. My mother needed help, and I couldn't even help my own mother. I mean, I did through, you know, knowing people that can help, but like my own rescue because of our policy.
Got it.
And, you know, we're strict by that, and we also have a very strict adoption policy.
So let's talk about that. I want to talk a little bit about your adoption policy, maybe the do's and the don'ts, what is allowed and what's not allowed, because I'm guessing that there are maybe times when somebody is denied either being a foster parent or an adoptive parent for these pets. Tell me the do's and don'ts.
Basically, there should only be a do, and that means you're going to be a responsible pet owner with a commitment to give the pet you bring home a home for the rest of its life. Because honestly, if you really want to end euthanasia, it's happy, healthy pets, the best way to do it is by keeping your pet for its lifetime. We do deny people, but it's, you know, we don't like doing it.
Sure.
So even if someone came in that wasn't, let's say, desirable to bring take home a pet, we really make a lot of effort to educate them. And if you're appreciative of that process, then everything usually ends positive.
Good.
You end up taking a pet home. But if, in my experience, if you don't appreciate the process and if you feel like if it's intrusive or whatnot, like, for example, we ask for references and we actually call references. We seek landlord approval before you take home a pet. We do dog-to-dog introductions before you take home a pet. And every member of the family has to meet the pet before they go home. Hmm. If you're open to that, and I really encourage people to be open to that, because if you're a first-time pet owner, you're going to want our experience. You're going to want us to tell you what the future lies ahead, especially if you have small children or plan on having a family soon. Mm-hmm. So basically, our whole adoption process is just to rule out any reason why someone would get rid of a pet. Again, if you're open to the process, it ends positive. And a lot of people are grateful for it because we ended up educating them on a lot of stuff they didn't even think about.
Sure.
So one of my favorite things to do is when a college student wants a pet, I always talk about their future. Well, you're a sophomore now. Are you planning on going to grad school? La-di-da-di-da, you know? And when they start telling me, yeah, I want to move to law school, after this, I was like, well, are you going out of state? Are you going to be taking this pet with you everywhere you go? And 9 times out of 10, they didn't even think that far.
Right.
And when they realize they can't have a pet, I then ask them to become a foster. That way they have a pet in their lives while they're finishing their education.
Yeah, that makes sense. Nice way to fill that void. Let me reintroduce our guest is 12 Camacho. He is the co-founder and the operations manager for Foster Army Animal Rescue. You work closely with the animal control in Riverside, right? The shelter in Riverside. Is it a city one or is there only one that you work with?
Well, we work with Riverside Department of Animal Services.
Okay.
And our shelter is unique because it is our city and county facility. And, you know, I always tell residents of Riverside that they need to be very proud of our shelter because recently they reached a milestone where they don't kill for space anymore, which is huge.
Yes.
But they are terminally ill animals that are still getting euthanized, which is why we're trying to build a big foster program so that those animals have a safe place to go. And we do primarily only take from the shelter, the Riverside County Shelter and City Shelter, one same facility. But they've been doing such a great job, sometimes there are no animals for us to take. And if we have an available foster, we now pull once in a while from Reno Valley and Corona.
Oh, well, that's good. That's a great problem to have, though, right? That they don't have any to take.
Oh,
isn't that
so
a great
good.
Problem? That is a good problem.
Well, I always tell people, you know, we don't want to exist. You know? We're one of the only industries that don't want to exist. So when we get closer to not having to have a rescue, that's great news.
After a quick break, I'll continue my conversation with 12 Camacho, co-founder and operations manager of Foster Army Animal Rescue. You're listening to Lifestyles on 91.9 KVCR. I'm Lillian Vasquez. We'll be right back. Stay with us. If you're just joining us, I'm speaking with 12 Camacho. He's the co-founder and operations manager of Foster Army Animal Rescue, located in Riverside. Let's talk about what it takes to run the organization. How can those that follow your mission and want to volunteer get involved or be supportive?
Well, you could visit our website and sign up to be a volunteer. The volunteer opportunities are you could either volunteer and help us at our thrift store, or you can volunteer to help with the animals. Right now, because of COVID, we're not doing many events, but when we do, we definitely need some hands on deck to help with the animals at adoption events. We also do community events where we have a booth. We're always looking for volunteers to help with, you know, events like that. And also definitely always need fosters. That's our primary number one need always is fosters. So anyone that's willing to open their home indefinitely to bring in a pet is fantastic. We love it. It's a great community we've built. We have a lot of people that support each other. We do fun events with fosters where we take all the fosters out for a hike together and bond. And
oh, that must be a little chaotic.
It can be. It can be because a lot of the times we'll have a few pets that are very unsocialized.
Right.
But it's good for them to be in that environment around strange people and dogs. But usually we have a lot of, you know, really experienced dog handlers around. So we're able to train and, you know, they even sent me to school to become a dog trainer.
Oh.
So that we could start telling fosters things they could do at home when they have a dog with behavior issues. We also have a pet sponsorship program. So it's basically just a way for someone to give monthly, and you could pick and choose a pet you'd like to sponsor. And then when they get adopted, we give you another pet and send you a letter letting you know that the pet you were previously sponsoring is adopted, and here's your new pet. And it's a great way to help us continue our mission, and it's a lot of comfort as an organization knowing that we have a steady stream of income coming in, so we don't ever have to hesitate to save any lives. And then another way to give, you can go to our website and donate.
Yeah, your wish list.
Always appreciate it. Yeah,
we have a wish list. Tell me about your wish list.
Well, our Amazon wish list is just so we don't have to spend too much on overhead.
Mm-hmm.
So you could get us anything from a ream of paper for the office or cleaning supplies for the thrift store to formula for our bottle babies, dog food, cat food for our foster program. And so there's a big list of on Amazon, Smiles, that you could just check out, and you could just order it there and then send it directly to us. And we also are on Amazon Smiles as a nonprofit organization you can help. So just by simply shopping, you'll raise money for us.
And I want to ask, do the foster parents need to also live in Riverside? Or can you live in another city locally here in the Inland Empire?
You can live anywhere, but you just have to be willing to drive to Riverside for vet appointments and adoption events.
Got it.
We have fosters in Anaheim, and we have fosters in Big Bear and Idyllwild.
Nice.
But we also work with the fosters. So if you do live far and you have a vet that you've been using for years, and if they offer a rescue discount, we set up an account with that vet. You know, as an organization, when you foster for us, we do supply all the supplies you need, plus we pay for all the medical fees.
Got it.
So we really try to help people that live far so they don't have to come to Riverside so much. And our foster coordinator is great. Like when vaccinations are due, she'll usually drive to the foster's house to do it so you don't have to make the trek out. So we do try to cater to our fosters as much as possible so that it's easy for them to foster with us.
Very good. And lastly, before I let you go, I really like your logo. It's very cute. It's very clever. So who designed it for the organization?
That was me.
Was it?
I did, yeah. I taught myself graphic design. And watched a lot of YouTubeversity. And, you know, came up with that logo. So.
It's very cute.
And it was a lot of fun. It took me a really long time, but very proud of it at the end.
Yes, and it has staying power. So the fact that it took you a lot of time, that was investment time, and it has staying power. It's very cute. 12, thank you so much for what you're doing for our little pets here in our community. And I love thrift stores, so I'm bound to stop in and check it out so I can support your organization and support our pets.
Thank you. I'm a big fan of your show. And I'm very happy and pleased that we got to do this. So thank you.
To learn more about Foster Army Animal Rescue, visit our website at kvcrnews.org/lifestyles and click on today's show. My guest now is comedian Carol Montgomery. She's been in the stand-up scene for over 40 years. Her latest project is Funny Women of a Certain Age, a stand-up show featuring all female comics. Welcome to Lifestyles.
Hello, how are you?
I'm well, thank you. Great to be speaking with you. Let's talk about your current project, Funny Women of a Certain Age. What's the age that we're talking about, and tell me about the project?
So when I was 50, and I've been doing, like you said, I've been doing stand-up for 40 years. I was on the road for most of it. I would probably be on the road like 3 weeks every month. And so I was a certified, what we call a road comic. And then I moved to Las Vegas, and I ended up starring in a couple of production shows out there as the comedian. And we decided we want to come back to New York City so my son, this is very funny, actually. I said, we would rather my son go to high school in New York than Vegas because the school systems are not very good out there. And, you know, when I hit 50, I was like, wait a minute. Like, nobody's literally, you hear women talk about this, that all of a sudden you literally, you could be 49 and 364 days old, and people will still, like, look at you. And then you turn 50, and it's like you have, like, the invisibility cloak that Harry Potter had in the book. Like, nobody pays attention to you. So I remember, you know, I started branching out. I mostly had direct solo shows. I developed solo shows. I teach stand-up comedy. And then when I was 59, I was on a podcast with a couple of other older comedians, female comics, and we had so much fun laughing. I mean, it was just, you know, when you get together with old friends and we weren't even drinking, which was shocking. And we just had the best time. And I remember calling my husband because I was walking home. I was walking to the train station and I said, I don't know why they don't have a show like this where it's just women who are old friends. They're all great comics. And we just started talking about it. And I pitched the idea to a friend of mine who had a comedy festival called the Cinderbar Comedy Festival. And she said, would you like to premiere it at the festival? And I did. And we had Judy Gold on it. And Janine Garofalo was on it. And a couple of local women who were also older. From there, there was somebody in the audience who worked at a small theater in the city. And she said, oh, I think my boss would love this show. And that ended up becoming a residency at the Crane Theater in New York City. Hmm. And we're starting our fourth year there. So it became this project that just kept snowballing. But people were like, yeah, how come there aren't any shows like this? And we ended up doing a big showcase for a bunch of network people about 3 or 4 months afterwards. And everyone was there, all the big networks, HBO, Amazon, Showtime, Comedy Central, CNN. And we went with Showtime because Showtime gave me my first big TV break when I had just had my son. So now we're talking almost 30 years ago. And I'm very loyal that way. And I was like, I want to bring it back to the network that gave me my start. So from there, it just blossomed. You know, the first special for Showtime that we did in 2019 was the highest rated network special for Showtime for that year. And then we did a second one. And here's what's funny about the second one. So we premiere on March 14th, 2020. And March 16th, the world shuts down. Like, really? Hello? So, yeah, it really is about the fact that older women in general just don't get a chance to shine. And I wanted to do that. And I say this on stage when I bring the ladies out, and especially during the live show. I said, it's really for a purely selfish reason. I wanted to work with my friends. Women, female comics don't get to work with each other.
Yeah, it seems like it's always guys and one female, you know.
And one female.
Yeah, exactly.
That's exactly the case. In fact, there's a whole big thing going on. I think somebody called me about it. I guess there was a big article in the LA Times is that a lot of the clubs, again, now that we're back to whatever, some kind of normal, there's no women on the show. And it's like, well, how did that happen? When did that go on? You know what I mean? So I feel like I'm doing my part to, you know, and the other thing is, and this is where I always say to people, I know I sound very cocky when I talk about my show, but I don't have to worry about the women that are on my show. In comedy, especially when you're starting out and when you're a younger comic, not young in years, not in age, there's a lot of what we call, will you do me a favor, I'll do you a favor. You know what I mean? It's very like, I'll put you on if you put me on.
Yeah.
And because of that, sometimes the shows suck. You know what I mean? Like, they're horrible shows. But I always say that to the audience at the beginning of the show. I said, I will guarantee that there will be somebody on this show that you like. These are all pros. These people have been in the game for years. And you may not know who they are, trust me when I tell you they're going to do a great job.
So yeah. Who are some of the ladies that will be involved in this next show?
Yes, yeah, so we're doing a third taping at the Irvine Improv July 20th. Myself, of course, will be there. Leanne Lord, Monique Marvez, Wendy Liebman, Gina Yashari, and Terry Hatcher. I think that's all of them, right?
I think you got them all. So I didn't know Terry Hatcher was I know her as an actress. I didn't know she was a comedian.
Yes, she is. My partner said to me, would you like to see a tape of Terry Hatcher? And I've always loved Terry Hatcher. I've loved her, you know, for years. I think she's a really funny actress. And so they sent me a clip of her doing stand-up, and I went, she's hysterical.
Really?
She's really great. And yes, and she's funny, and she's self-deprecating, and people are going to be like, wow, we didn't know she could do that. it's interesting. I don't know if they do this with men as much, but I do know that when women do something different, they're like, wow, I didn't realize she could do that. Like, you know, with me, you know, like people are like, you teach too and you direct. I said, well, you know, women are really good at multitasking.
No kidding.
You know, men, you know, my, like for me, my day now, even just what I do, you know, I was at the gym. I had to go to Target. I had to make phone calls. I had to do this. And my husband, you know, he's doing today. He's playing softball.
Well, we don't want to overexert him or anything.
Exactly. That's exactly it. He texts me on the way home and I go, honey, can you pick up milk? He's like, oh, whoa, man. Like, really? I mean, like, that's a lot of work to go to the store. And
yeah. I just played a game. I'm a little tired right now. Can I do it later?
Exactly.
Yeah, I got one of those too. All right. Let me ask you, what's funny to you? What makes you laugh?
Oh, that's a great question. I love slapstick. Like, if somebody slips on a banana peel, I'm such a kid that way. In physicality, like I said, even in my own act, you know, my son used to say to me, well, Mom, all you do is make faces when you're on stage. I said, well, those faces bought you a house.
So slapstick is the type of humor that you enjoy. So you kind of like the Jim Carrey kind of physical slapsticky type of humor.
Yes.
That's funny.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Huh. And my heroes for that are the Marx Brothers. Because, you know, and specifically Harpo Marx, because Harpo was so physical. And,
right. Well, he didn't talk. So he had to use his humor in another way, right?
Exactly.
Well, Carol, thank you. It's been a joy speaking with you. I wish you the best on your Funny Women of Certain Age and hope to that or see you in person.
Thank you so much.
On next week's show, we'll hear more from Carol Montgomery as she talks about all things comedy. To learn more about Funny Women of a Certain Age, visit our website at kvcrnews.org/lifestyles and click on Today's Show. That's our show for this week. To hear any of our past shows, visit our website at kvcrnews.org/lifestyles. You can also listen to Lifestyles on iTunes, Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. Search for Lifestyles with Lillian Vasquez on your streaming service and take the show on the go. Lifestyles is now on Facebook. Search for us online at 919Lifestyles and give us a like. Thanks to all who helped to make this show possible, including Sharina Waugh, David Fleming, Sean Houlihan, Andrew Caravella, our intern Jamal Willis, and executive producer Rick Dulock. Our theme music is provided by Ethan Bortnick. Join me again next week at the same time for Lifestyles with me, Lillian Vasquez. Bye for now.